Hey there. Hold on just a minute. My calendar went from Saturday, Monday night to Sunday night to Monday night. Just a minute.
Hello.
I hate these time zone differences.
How you doing?
Okay. I'm so sorry.
I'm just getting a cup of tea.
Oh, good. I just had a cup of coffee. I apologize. Never mind. It doesn't make any, it's no difference why. Hello. How are you on the other side of the world?
Yeah, great to see you.
Thanks for having me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Never mind. It went from Sunday to Monday, and I said Monday isn't going to work. Then it went to Sunday, and this has been a crazy day. And anyways, what's happening with you, Pete? How is the world treating you down under down there?
Well, I'm sitting here with my beautiful dog, Shakova, having a cup of tea. Beautiful day here, actually. So the world's treating me very well. I'm not in Victoria, which is a good thing. I feel very sorry for the people down there and what's happening to them at the moment. And maybe we can have a chat about that a little later on or whatever you like to do. I'm all yours. So thank you for having me. Good day, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. So what do you think is going to happen down there? I'm really curious to see from somebody, because I have some friends that live in Sydney and I've been, you know, communicating with them. They go, I don't know what's going on. I don't see anything happening here. So is it only people in our sector that really kind of know what's happening in Victoria, in Melbourne?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time because there's so many storylines happening. So Victoria has done a deal with, it's called the Belt and Road Project with China. They've also done some sort of collaboration with an agenda called Smart Cities. They're the only state in Australia that has done that, and they're the only state in Australia that's done that deal with China. So you can look at two of those threads and it'll take you down some pretty amazing rabbit holes. On top of that, you've got a premier that is called Dan Andrews, who has created a state of emergency or a state of disaster. They go between the two, which gives the chief health officer of Victoria certain rights and privileges in which they can change the law or change the directives. Now that is debatable as to the legality of that law, and that's being challenged by many different people and organizations at the moment and different political parties. So it's they've been in lockdown for 6 months, and what we're witnessing is the destruction of small business, medium-sized business. But there's also another, I guess, other storylines happening, because the people out of work are generally getting government handout and assistance, so monetary incentives. So I've spoken to a lot of business leaders down in Victoria, and they're saying that their staff that are laid off are sort of, and I don't want this to sound what it sounds like, but they've said that it's like people are having a holiday down there, a paid holiday. So people still aren't in that position of terror or doom and gloom yet for a lot of people. Now, in saying that, there's a lot of people that are really struggling down there financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So there's so much going on. There doesn't seem to be like a unified force just yet. I think when that money either stops or is reduced for the population, then I think the story will change for a lot of people, because it'll directly impact them. Now, there's also a strange phenomena happening in Victoria where that premier apparently has a lot of support from Victorians, which is so bizarre, because if you look at the country of Australia, I think there's been, I don't know how many deaths attributed to COVID-19 or the coronavirus or associated with. It could be up in the 800s or 900s now. And we know that's debatable as well, but 700 of them, like, 80% of them, maybe more, are in Victoria. So we've got people celebrating the work of their premier that has had 8 times the amount of deaths in their state than other states. Like, you would think that the population of Victoria would be like, you're doing a really bad job, mate. You're doing something really bad. The lockdown isn't working. The lockdown is actually increasing deaths. So whereas we look at the other states, and I'm in New South Wales at the moment, New South Wales doesn't really have, I think they reported today, they've got one case discovered in the last 24 hours. And you and I know what that means. It's ridiculous. It's error. But So New South, peoples in New South Wales don't have the restrictions. We're free to go wherever we want. There are a few restrictions about the amount of people in a restaurant, for instance, and tracing, but nothing like what's happening in Victoria. So there seems to be a storyline playing out that Victoria could be cut off from the rest of Australia. And I've heard that over the last few months, that this is actually a playbook that's happening. And the same thing's going to happen in New Zealand, because New Zealand has done the same sort of deals with China and potentially the smart cities, but I'm not 100% sure. So it's fascinating watching this all play out. And my thoughts are, and this is just my gut feeling, is the other states and the Prime Minister here is waiting to see what happens with the November election in the United States, because obviously there's a big storyline between China and the US government, and Australia plays somewhat of a role in that as well. Like, we're very reliant on China, but we're also very reliant on our relationship with America. So I would think that potentially the Prime Minister is hedging his bets at the moment to see who comes out on top in November. And I'm really supporting Donald Trump, that he comes through, because I interviewed Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who created Vaxxed, the other day, and he said if the Democrats win, they will definitely make mandatory vaccinations throughout the United States compulsory or mandated. And if Trump wins, he will make it an option on a voluntarial basis. So I much prefer a free will or free choice society. And yeah, so I'm if I was a betting person, I'd bet on Trump. And if I was looking at the potential implications that it has for Australia, that's why I'm out there saying I'm actually supporting Trump. Whatever you think, I think there will be potentially freedom for choice if Trump wins, and the ripple effect that will have on Australia, I think will really dictate where we go in the future. So it's crazy, I tell you. It's crazy.
Yeah, wow. You know, it's interesting, because I think a lot of us here in the US that are looking at this whole vaccine stuff here, it's like we look at what's happening down in Victoria and go, is this the prototype of what they actually want to roll out all across the world, actually, you know, and will the Victorian people be of that province be able to stand up and say, no, we're not doing this, you know? I mean, and I totally agree with you. You know, I'm an unabated Trump fan. I have been since actually I've been following Trump's career since the 1980s, actually, and I wasn't initially a big fan of his, only because I really didn't know. I just thought, really? You know, but there were 16 candidates to begin with. When it got down to about 12 or maybe 10, I decided that I was going to go out to YouTube, and I was actually going to listen to a full speech of what he had to say instead of what the powers that be and the sound bites that they were feeding us, you know, that they wanted us to hear. So when I went out and I started listening to entire speeches of his, I was like, yeah, that's good for America. What's wrong with these people? Mm. And so from the beginning, you know, from the last election, at that point in time, Facebook was Facebook, unlike what it is now, right? And we did a lot to really help promote his campaign and had big campaigns behind us, kind of like doing it because we had big platforms. And now I just don't quite understand how anybody, I mean, if you were a dipped and dyed Democrat and you hated Donald Trump absolutely to the core of the breath of his being, because you believed everything that CNN had fed you, but you really hated him for whatever reason, I still don't see how anybody that has two working neurons can vote for Biden. In fact, I actually wrote a letter. I mean, I would just say, okay, I'm just not voting this time. I'm just not going to vote. Because how could you actually vote for someone who can't put a sentence together, is really, from my physician's eyes, has accelerated senile dementia? I honestly wasn't even sure, and I'm still not sure, that he's going to be alive by the time the election happens. I mean, it's accelerated senile dementia. You look at where he was in February to now, just, you know, 6-7 months later. I mean, the man can't talk. He can't put a full sentence together. And I actually was considering writing a letter to AARP, which is the senior citizens organization here in the U.S., and asking them to step in, because politics aside, completely putting politics aside, this man is 78 years old, and he spent almost 50 years of his life in public office, including being vice president of this country twice. And whether you support his politics or not, taking the end years of his life and putting him up on stage and forcing him to behave as though there was nothing wrong with his brain, I personally think is elder abuse. I just think it's an abuse of a senior citizen that he's going to go to his grave one of these days, which we all do, but one of these days he's going to die. And he's going to, what people are going to remember is this senile dementia person that can't even put two sentences together. And so I think it's really, and so now when I see people, they got Biden-Harris signs in their yard, I'm speechless. I'm just absolutely speechless that people would go and vote for him. I don't understand it. I really don't. And I'm really concerned. I've read an awful lot of things about, you know, the potential for, you know, breakdown of our society completely. And I mean, one of the things that me and my prayer group, our prayer group is on Instagram, is Happy Hour with Dr. T. You know, it's, we do it Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock Eastern time. And we get together and we pray. We read a verse in the Bible and we talk about it, and then we pray. And we pray for all of us that are out there on the front line, for protection, for courage, for stamina, for, just to help for us to be able to maintain the message. We pray for our governments, plural, you know, because we have people that join from all over the world, and pray for, you know, the strength of our presidents. And so every day that we do that, I just keep thinking, how can, you know, I pray for our country. I honestly hope that but somewhere between the election and the inauguration is going to be the most volatile time here in the U.S. because the election is going to be contested on both sides, no matter who wins. Even if Trump wins by a landslide, they'll contest it. And if Biden wins, he's not sworn in until January the 20th. So between November 3rd and January 20th, Trump is still president of the United States until the new president is inaugurated and sworn in. And I think that period of time is potentially the most volatile. And I pray every day that I hope by February 1st, we still have a country.
Yeah, I have to agree. And well done for your prayer, Happy Hour with Dr. T. I love that. And I just want to point out as well with Victoria, because the premier down there is publicly associated, or has, and the same with New Zealand, they've both promoted Hillary Clinton over the years, and they've both promoted Joe Biden, and they're involved with Podesta. It's like the tentacles are very far reaching, that's for sure. Podesta popped over to New Zealand a week before their massacre, their mosque massacre. And I mean, coincidental, but there's a lot of interesting stuff. And the chief health officer of Victoria, who's in charge of these apparent lockdowns, he works for a university where Bill Gates puts a lot of money into that university as well. So it you don't have to be a conspiratorial theorist to actually just see all the connections that are playing out. And I do believe that New Zealand and Victoria, as you said, is the playbook to see how people respond to what is happening for the rest of the world. And I agree with you on Biden there. I shared something today. I think he did a speech in the last 24 hours. And I did share it on social media, but even listening to you talking about it now, it's like, you know, it's hard not to show the incompetence, and maybe that's not the right word, but the destruction of that man's brain, you know. And I don't want to laugh about it because it's sad. It's
very sad
of putting someone into that position, I believe. And so I interviewed a lady last week called Chanel Rian, who's a White House reporter. So she works for a news outlet called OAN. And she reported, we did a live podcast pretty much from the White House. And it was interesting because I asked her the questions that I felt were pertinent. You know, she has a direct one-on-one with Donald Trump when she's in that briefing room, and she's usually the one that doesn't wear a mask, and she asks the really good questions that CNN and Fox and MSNBC don't ask. And I asked her what the deal is with Fauci and Gates and Trump. And I released the podcast a few days ago, so if anyone wants to listen to it, just jump onto our Evolve with Pete Evans podcast. And she was wonderful because she said that she believes Trump surrounds himself with people that aren't just yes men and women. He likes to have a diversified field of people around him so he can take in all points of view. And then he gets to make his decision, taking in all of that. And he said that he likes to keep Fauci, her perception is he keeps Fauci in there for that reason. And part of it, she was speculating, was that there's either about to be or there is an investigation into Fauci's conflict of interest that's happening now or just about to happen. And I asked her about vaccines, and she said Trump is an anti-vaccine, but he's not for mandatory vaccines. So if you listen to the wording that he uses, that's it. And she said, keep an eye on Dr. Atlas. And I don't know whether you saw Dr. Atlas come out yesterday and do a press briefing for the White House, but he was talking about vaccines. And he said, we will not make them mandatory. And Dr. Atlas is from Stanford University. I think he's part of President Trump's new coronavirus task force or right-handers in his medical team. So really interesting stuff playing out. And she said, Trump is now bringing in different points of view. So it's fascinating. And I asked a fellow the other day, Dr. David Martin, who was on Plandemic Indoctrination.
I know David. I know David.
And I said, what's the deal? Because when Trump talks about the China virus, I'm sure he's not talking about coronavirus. And he said, Trump speaks in code. So when you look at what's happening in Victoria, New Zealand with China and the deals that are done and what potentially is happening. And David went into the understanding of the economy and where China fits in and where the rest of the world fits in. It made a lot of sense. And hopefully I'm going to have a weekly update from this reporter, Chanel, to download basically what's happening every week at the White House. And hopefully I'm getting a weekly update from David Martin. We're working on that hopefully at the moment. So just to get a larger viewpoint of what is happening globally that we can share, because it's definitely not coming through the mainstream media.
Not at all. And, you know, my contacts with Trump tell me that he, you know, privately would say he's very much against vaccines. But here's the thing, and this is the thing that people have to remember, because we talk to we're in the whole anti-vax, ex-vax sort of circle, because we're educated. Not only are we awake, we take action. And so, but we forget that we are a distinct minority in the entire world. You know, we're loud, we're vocal, we're growing, and more people are aware of this. But even here in the U.S., if you consider there's 337 million people in the U.S. I would say, I don't know, less than 10%. So that would be like, you know, less than 10%. So that would be less than 30 million people out of 337 million are in the same ballpark that you and I are about vaccines. I think there's a larger swath of people who pick and choose vaccines. They're not against all of them. They still have this 200-year multi-generational indoctrination that at least some of them are good, right? And isn't there like one or two that I should have, kind of? And so the vast majority of people, and for sure the medical people here in the U.S., are big-time pro-vaccine. There's never been a vaccine they haven't liked, and there's barely been anyone that they've actually questioned. So if he came out strong, I mean, he's already got every gun in the world pointed towards his head by the deep state and all the people who hate him. And if he says white, they're going to say black no matter what, you know? And so if he came out strongly, listen, I've done my investigation. I've taught Melania, blah, 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 and our son, blah, blah, blah. And I think that vaccines do more harm than good. I mean, he would lose the vast majority of people, maybe even his supporters, because they aren't in that same place. I've felt for long before this election stuff got so ugly this time around, that once he gets reelected, And he has the latitude to, because he won't care. You know, he's got the latitude to pull out every trump card, no pun intended, in his pocket, every card, and throw it on the table and go after the pharmaceutical industry and expose everything for what it really is. I've said for at least the last 2 years that wait, bide your time, hope that, you know, do whatever it takes to get this man reelected, because then the truth is really going to come out. Right now, there's still a lot, there's so much divisiveness and so many lies that come through the mainstream media every day. I mean, I was doing a thing with Hugs Over Mask on Thursday night, and somebody asked me, how dare I be a supporter of Trump because Trump has done this, 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 and this. I went, well, obviously you get your news from CNN because every single one of those four things you listed are a lie. They're absolutely not true. And so the point is that we would like to believe that there that the number of people in the world that have investigated vaccines, have studied them, have come to the conclusion that they're not safe, they're not effective, they don't protect you, and they're not necessary is the majority. But globally, we're still sadly a distinct minority. We're growing. We have more and more people questioning. We have more and more people, especially with this COVID vaccine, going, what? Wait, fast track? No, no choice. I don't think so. But that's still, you know, we were celebrating the fact when 51% of the people over here on a poll said they were questioning whether or not they were going to take that COVID-19 vaccine. So I think that some of his posturing is political. I think that he's playing to the, you know, a place where he's trying not to alienate the base of pro-patriot, pro-medical choice, pro-vaccine choice, anti-vaccine. He doesn't want to alienate them, but they're a minority of people over here. There's still a majority of people over here that need that level of education, and he needs their votes. And that's from some of the people behind the scenes I've spoken with and just my own observation over the last couple of years that I think there's political posturing in that vaccine position.
I agree. Yeah, time will tell. But yeah, I was talking to my wife about it yesterday, just saying, you know, it's pretty tough for the people in Victoria, but I think it's going to be very tough for America over the next 3 or 4 months. As you said, I think all signs are pointing.
Oh, that's just like taking it not exponentially up higher, right?
I just moved inside.
There you go. I mean, I think for the last 3 minutes you said, the last thing I heard you say was it was interesting listening to the Trump speak yesterday, either from Virginia or South Carolina. Then you kind of got frozen after that.
Yeah, I was saying basically sorry to everybody too. For some reason, I lose reception here. And I was saying that he had a lot of confidence, and it seems like he's probably in a position now that he's always wanted to be in, where he can help push through some things that he's always wanted to push through, but we'll see.
Well, that'll be good. Well, listen, I don't want to keep you long because I was the bad girl here and I was late because scheduling things. I so apologize for that. So thank you for hanging in there with me. I'm really glad that you did. You know, we've got our boot camp course is this week. You know, open enrollment closes tomorrow night at midnight, actually. And so I was hoping that, are you familiar with what we do in our boot camp? Do you know what we do?
You help people.
We educate people. That's what we actually do. You know, we talk, it's an 8-week online boot camp where people can study. We have a lot of people who join from Australia, New Zealand. It's an 8-week boot camp educational training program that we only offer twice a year. People want to learn more about it and know what the course is actually about. They can go to vaxxter.com, V as in victory, AXXTER.com. And then we have all the everything that's there in terms of the what the course is about, what the 8 bonuses are. And then they can enroll for the course, which starts next Saturday. So, you know, and this might be the last time we do it, Pete, with all the censorship that's going on and all of the things that are happening. I don't know how we're going to be able to pull this off going forward, but this might be the last time that we offer it. So right now we've got our open enrollment going on until this time tomorrow night. So I hope that we can move the needle forward and get a lot of people involved because it's boots on the ground training. You guys will have access to me almost every day for the next 8 weeks. So that's it's a lot of work on my part.
I want to thank you, Sherry, for doing what you do and being tenacious and determined and courageous and brave and intelligent.
Aww, thank
and
you.
Forthright and standing in your truth. Sorry, I'm patting my...
We're kind of losing you again there, Pete. I think we lost you. Okay, good.
I'm back. If anybody has a question before we head off.
Yeah, if anybody has a question, pop it in there. That's really good. So what's your next plan? What are you doing next? What are you working on right now?
Good question. I'm doing a lot of podcasts at the moment, so I'm recording maybe 10 a week and releasing them. We've got a new platform launching probably tomorrow called Evolve Network. That platform is a space for conscious content creators. So in that, we will have The Magic Pill, our film, which talks about food as medicine. We've got our Magic Plant film, which talks about cannabis as a form of medicine. We also have the Paleo Way TV series on there, recipes, meal plans, and we'll be launching with Plandemic 2 as well on our platform, plus a whole host of other films. I think we've got Vaxxed coming onto it. A lot of content. Think Gaia meets London Real meets an app. So,
oh, wow.
for any content creators or people out there, so... A conscious space, a wellness platform is my intention. I want to have one of the world's leading wellness platforms for people to be able to come on and hit an audience. Well, my crazy thought is that this will become the new mainstream. Like health and wellness will actually, and health and wellness news will become mainstream. I mean, the reason that it's not, the reason that mainstream news at the moment is fear-based and not factual, is concerning for me. So the idea is to create a space for real news, but in a way that's, on a really good platform that has something for everybody.
I would love to see people that are really good writers get back to real investigative reporting. You know what reporting used to be. I mean, when you would dig down through go down into the rabbit hole and really find out things instead of everybody across the board getting the same press release with the same bullet points at 4 a.m. that they say everywhere across CNN and ABC, NBC, Fox, all the way around the world. Right? It's the same thing. Epoch Times kind of comes close to that. They do some really, really good work, but I still think they lean left, even though they're closer to the center than anything else that's out there, or a little bit to the right, and they don't censor. But it would be great to have a platform in all those different elements of people that really did true investigative work. So I hope that turns out to be that way for you. Is this your platform that you're launching? Is it your individual platform?
Yeah, it is. And what's beautiful about it is you can have a Dr. Tenpenny channel, or you can just create content if you like. So, and we're setting up as subscription-based. As you know, to create content, it costs a lot of money. I think The Magic Pill film cost me $500,000. The Magic Plant cost $500,000. Paleo Way TV series, roughly about the same. And podcasts, as you know, they cost $200 each time you do one. So this will be very affordable. I think we're putting it out there at $6 a month, $1.50 a week for my platform. And then, you can come on and create a summit if you like, Dr. Tenpenny Summit or whatever course, and then you can charge. And I know a lot of people go, well, why are you charging for information? Well, the information actually costs money to create. So,
well, people don't understand that if you have an, because they're used to sitting in their living room or sitting wherever they are and seeing this stuff for free. They don't understand that when you have an online business, how much back end cost there is for me to sit here and just, or you and me to sit here and have this conversation. I mean, there's server cost, email, costs like MailChimp MailChimp or Constant Contact, and there's servers cost, there's hosting fees, there's website renewal fees. I mean, there's mm-hmm. Then you got employees that they kind of like to get paid, I mean, for the work that they do, and you and I would kind of like to get paid for all the work that we do. And so people don't understand that where that money has to come from. And I usually do my best to try to say that whenever I can. So because I've been saying it for a while. When I first started saying it, people were like, really? It costs you money to do this? Yeah, like lots. You have no idea. So yeah, like what you just said, how much money it costs for those films. And it's interesting that you say that, because I needed to get through boot camp open enrollment week here. We have to get into the boot camp. But the very next thing that I'm planning, not maybe this coming week, but the week after, I want to start laying out my next venture, which is going to be a podcast that I want to do. I want to call it the Ten Penny Files. and that way it's because I have a lot more knowledge information in my head to share than just about vaccines. I mean, you know, I have a lot of stuff that I want to talk about. I want to talk about, you know, manual medicine and osteopathy and iodine and thyroid and hormones and allergy treatments and, you know, muscle, just a whole bunch of stuff that I've done over the course of my medical career that I'm kind of, I know a lot about, and I never get a chance to talk about it because my focus when I'm usually doing interviews or lecturing, because that really is kind of what I've known about for over here, has to do with vaccines and problems with vaccines. Well, yeah, I know a ton about that, but I know a lot about a lot of other stuff too. So I want to have a platform where I can do more and be broader and more educational about holistic medicine, how to get off your pharmaceutical drugs, the importance of iodine. I mean, you know, all of that stuff that's in my wheelhouse. So I'm hoping to start that sometime, maybe the middle of October.
Well, you're a wonderful woman, and you've got an amazing brain and capacity for sharing knowledge and research knowledge and then sharing it. So it's easily digestible for people. So I'm grateful for you. And I'm thankful for everybody for tuning in today too. So thank you so much, everybody.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Pete. I know how busy you are, and I know we've had to reschedule this a couple of times with each of our schedules, and I apologize again for running late, but thanks for hanging in there with me and sticking it out with me here tonight. I look forward to looking to when we talk again and seeing your new platform, and thanks for everybody for showing up and being with us tonight. We love you guys. Thank you very much. Pete, have a good day, and I'll have a good evening. Take care.
Thank you. See you, Sharon.
All right. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.